Fred Film Radio from Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Angela Cherby, Fred Film Radio from the Berlinale, from the Berlin Film Festival. I'm very pleased to be here with Bruce LaPruz from the film The Visitors. Good afternoon.
Hello.
So your film is based on a rendition of Pasolini's Teorema. I wanted to ask you as a first question, why do you think that Pasolini's Theorema resonates so much?
Well, I think it has become one of those classic narratives that are kind of repeated over and over again. Like I compare it to like the Searchers narrative that Schrader and Scorsese use, you know, that based on John Ford's The Searchers, which has become a classical narrative that just keeps cropping up all the time, whether consciously or unconsciously. I think because the film is so it's such a highly symbolic film, you know, the characters are more like archetypes than real characters. It's obviously a political metaphor. So I think that's why it also deals with the nuclear family, which everyone can relate to, and automatically sets up a sort of Freudian kind of situation with the Oedipal tensions within the nuclear family that Freud talks about and calls the family romance. You know, that's something that everyone relates to, especially Pasolini, a gay man, and who's, you know, has the maternal fetish, the kind of highly sexualized mother that exists in a lot of his films. But it's, you know, the nuclear family, everyone can relate to, and those kinds of sexual attractions that we're made to feel extremely shameful about. In Teorema, it's kind of a liberation. And I even took that, tried to take it a step further with the incestuous kind of relationships completely coming to fruition. And, it's a film that as a kind of Marxist text, you know, it's a film about alienation. It's about characters who live in a they're bourgeois characters who live in a rarefied environment where they're totally disconnected from each other. They've become unaware of what even their authentic needs are. And Pasolini allows these characters to actually transcend those, that kind of repression, but to liberate themselves in very kind of profound ways.
And in your update of Pasolini's Teorema, you chose to, as the visitor, as the outsider, a black man, which is obviously a migrant, which is a big issue in Europe and in UK, even more. So, mm-hmm. And I wanted you to talk about also the text that we hear when the migrant arrives in the city. It's a huge issue.
Yeah. Obviously when I, the movie was made in London. So I did want it to be not only a more contemporary, version of Teorema, but I wanted it to represent modern, more contemporary queer politics and aesthetics, but also to be relevant to the kind of political situation that's happening in the UK at the moment. So when I was there, there was a lot of right wing kind of paranoia about happening about immigrants. There was some politician came up with the idea of sending all the refugees to Rwanda, which is a completely country already devastated by colonialism. And I mean, so to me, it had to have a kind of direct political message. In the original Teorema, it's more about the alienating effects of industrialism, which still exists today. But now it's more, I think, about, it's far more sinister than that. It's about the alienating effects of tech culture and how we're supposed to be, With globalization, we're all supposed to be connected, but we're more alienated and disconnected than we ever were, you know. So, so I wanted to make that clear, and to have the visitor also represent a kind of a projection as a sexual fantasy, and partly a sexual paranoia about the refugee, about especially the black man coming from Africa, this kind of notion of the sexually potent outsider.
Yeah, but it is fascinating and menacing at the same time.
Exactly. And so it's kind of a manifestation of their ultimate nightmare and desire at the same time.
Exactly. Actually, talking about desires and carnal and flesh desires, you choose to go much further than the sexual tension than was there in Pasolini's Teorema, but was not explicit that much. You push it forward like 100%, mm-hmm. and you decide, and you use pornography as a narrative tool, the principal narrative tool, which is fascinating, daring, and also risky as well. Mm.
Yeah, is that a question?
Yeah,
yeah. No, for me, what was interesting, I really studied Pasolini's late trilogy, Por Seal, Teorema, and Salo. Mm-hmm. So I also incorporated aspects of Por Seal and Salo as well. But they're all about the kind of psychopathology of the sexual psychopathology of the bourgeoisie. And I love how Pasolini suggests the sex in Teorema without showing it. So when the father is ill, he's in bed, he puts the Terence Stamp, the visitor, puts the father's feet over his shoulders to elevate his feet for his health. But then when you see it shot from behind, it looks like he's fucking him. Yeah. So, I mean, it's incredibly cheeky and visually clever and even with also the brother, when the father opens his, can't sleep, he's restless, he opens the son's bedroom door and he sees the visitor, Terence Stamp, in bed with the son, mm-hmm. but they're just sleeping. It's not a sexual thing. So in my version, of course, the father not only enters the bedroom, but joins in the sex with them. So, I thought it was important. I do think that Pasolini was, his imagination was becoming even more pornographic towards the end of his life. I mean, the Life trilogy is obviously has aspects of almost verging on porn in it. There's a lot of sex. There's a lot of nudity and sexual scenarios, and it's not explicit, but there's almost a quality of softcore porn to it sometimes. Yeah. And in Salo, I mean, it's starting to become very pornographic. So I often wonder if he had not been assassinated, if he would have made porn maybe. Yeah, at some point.
Like a logical evolution.
Yeah. Cinema, yeah. So for me, I thought it was kind of taking it to his work in a way to its logical conclusion.
And let's talk about the stylistic form of your film, because it's like it's a movie. The narrative is basic. There is a lot of visuals, and it starts from a art project. So how did you move from the art project to a film, and what of the art project was kept into the final film?
Well, it was a challenge. I mean, first of all, I mean, it's quite low budget, and we had somewhat limited resources. We had a really good camera, for example, but just in terms of the logistics, I knew that I had to shoot all the sex scenes in the art space, Apolitical's art space. So basically in the basement of where they exhibit the art of the artists they support. And it wasn't a huge space. It was a very kind of neutral space. There was nothing particularly distinctive about it. So and then I had access to this amazing location, the house that we used, just through connections. We were able to shoot in that house for one day, for like a long, 16, 18 hour day. And But then I had to figure out how to reconcile like the interiors, which are all shot in this tiny little art gallery, and the exteriors, which are very expansive, mm-hmm. including, you know, after 7 days of shooting, I found that I didn't have that ending for the film. I missed a couple of scenes. And so, you know, the director of Apolitical suggested that we go to the south of France for 3 days and shoot my ending, the liberation mostly. And those are very, like, beautiful settings in the Pyrenees. We shot at Lourdes. We shot in the mountains, in the waterfall. So, you know, so in order to accommodate this, I invented an aesthetic principle that I would, like, the interiors would be very abstract. They would be mostly in extreme close-up, and they would, with very minimal kind of art direction, so that they're really just focused on the sex and on the carnal aspects of the story. And then somehow in the exteriors use very wide, expansive shots. So it's like going from macrocosm to microcosm. And that's the way, that's what makes it work for me, because there's no, you're not attempting to blend the two. They're like really polar opposites. And if I tried to match the interiors with the exteriors, it wouldn't work at all, you know. And this is something that I've learned, you know, over many years of filmmaking. It's how to turn your disadvantages, you know, your limitations into something not only usable, but kind of, you know, something that is kind of becomes a integral part of the movie. It's like it becomes much more cinematic. It's more aesthetically rigorous, you know. So it's something that you learn making films for many years without many resources.
And can you tell us something about the manifesto aspect of the film? So there are quotes, there are shout-out quotes, like in the middle of a scene, there are phrases and stuff. So what was your purpose about it? Can we say that this movie is also a manifesto for sexual freedom?
Yeah, not just for sexual freedom, but for you know, liberation in general, and in terms of the kind of refugee angle, you know, the voice at the beginning of the film, the voiceover is taken directly from the right wing. I mean, it's various.
You didn't invent anything.
No. It's all real text from right wing politicians and pundits And then when I did the slogans, a lot of the slogans are taken from the Labour Party, which is supposed to be the leftist party. It's not so leftist anymore, but I mean, you know, it still is. I actually met Jeremy Corbyn during the shooting, because a political knows him, and he supports some of the artists and projects that Apolitical do. So, but I use the Labour Party slogans and corrupted them to kind of sexualize them, partly as a kind of, you know, kind of a critique of the left, where they're sometimes their sloganeering politics, you know, is their kind of doctrinaire politics, or using politics in a very kind of within the system of politics is seems to be pretty ineffectual against something as insidious and scary as this new ascendance of the extreme right and fascism. I mean, these slogans really don't do much to, like, you know.
They're very cute.
They're a bit cute, a bit pat, you know. So I'm a kind of, in my work, I quite often critique the radical left as much as the radical right. So that was an aspect to it. Also, it was for the sex scenes. I've always had a very ambivalent relationship to porn, and I've always used techniques that kind of disrupt it or draw attention to it, or when people are, you know, watching the movie for pure pleasure, I disrupt it as a way of drawing attention to their spectatorship, of kind of making them aware that that there can be exploitative aspects to pornography that, and also just to kind of add an intellectual kind of, a direct intellectual kind of like element to what usually is kind of dismissed as just pornography,
just porn, yeah.
Which is no one takes seriously, which is something just to be kind of done privately and in a kind of shameful way or something.
Yeah.
So to make it more clear that you can use pornography for political purposes, for other reasons. You know?
And one last question. Why do you think that we are getting so more and more prude about sex and pornography, which instead of growing older and more like wiser, world is getting more rigid every day?
I think it partly goes back to what we were talking about earlier, the alienating effects of the digitalized world, the kind of you know, the new AI world, the tech world, which is actually you know, changing the way we think and the way we gather our information from the world, you know, and view the world. So there's a kind of alienation from the body. There's a kind of dysphoria about the body. There's a kind of new, even from the left, there's a kind of a new mistrust of the body or that... And the appetites of the body, the natural appetites, biology in general is being thrown into question. And so, which serves some people's purposes politically, but I mean, I think to ignore the body and its desires and appetites is not necessarily the most healthy way to live. I mean, these are... attributes which have been endowed in us for a reason, you know, I mean, and and to completely deny them, I think, is naive at best, and it can be very destructive. So, and that's why, for me, as a filmmaker, a film like The Visitor is so, it's so important to present the sex as something positive, but it's also a bit kind of dangerous and extreme, and there's fetishes and domination and submission and female masochism and all those things. But I present them as liberatory, and also as porn. There's a tendency for the European art film, for example, cinema, for example, whenever they represent or they use explicit sex, it usually has to be grotesque somehow or disgusting in order to be taken seriously as art.
It's art. You know? I totally agree. Well, thanks a lot to Bruce for having been with us at Fred Radio for the film The Visitor from the Berlinale. I'm Angela Cherby for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred, 24/7 on Fred FM and smartphone app.